Our reading today is from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. Let us listen for the word of God. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
That's such a good word, we ought to applaud it. The way this season is going to work is that you'll be getting information. There'll be about Foundry's mission and ministry in our life together. There'll be new information on the website every week. There is currently available a brochure which you can pick up. I'm really appreciative for our ministry team for this brochure. You can pick up copies from the ushers as you leave today, or there's copies upstairs at the table. Also inside your program, if you pull it out and look at it, on the third to last page, there's a growing by steps chart. And our invitation, our challenge this year over these 4 weeks is for you to think about what your income is, and if you are not making a commitment or pledging, for you to decide at what level you might want to start. And there's, it shows the levels in the chart, some of the levels. Or if you are already pledging, to think about whether you could grow a percent or a step this year in your giving. So please look at the literature that's available after you leave the church. Check our website. Read what other people have to say. We'll have some more sharing, as Tara has done this morning. Take time to be thoughtful and prayerful about it. And then in a couple weeks, the second Sunday of November, we'll ask you to begin returning your pledge cards. Our leaders, some of them are doing it now. If you really, really can't wait and want to get your pledge card in right away, there are some upstairs at the table, and you can get one now. But I usually find it helpful to sit down and have a conversation with other people in my life, including Jane, and for us to think together and prayerfully about what we want to do. So take your time, but this is that season. Someone told me that Grace Garcia is here this morning. Grace, where are you? Grace, welcome back. Grace is a former leader of Foundry Church who has now moved back to Texas, and she is director of Emily's List. Keep up the work down there in Texas. Elect all women to Congress from Texas. All women from Texas would be a good thing. I've got a few Foundry community things to share. Ed Koch, who has served as Foundry's Director of Finance for the past 5 years, has resigned. So we and staff will miss his daily presence among us. We wish Ed all the best in his continuing vocational journey. We are currently working with a search firm to quickly find a new director of finance, so please keep that process in your prayers. Something else, for a second year in a row, the Blade newspaper named Foundry the best house of worship in their Best of Gay DC Awards. So congratulations, Foundry Church. I was at the awards ceremony. The runner-up was Bet Mishpaha. Bet Mishpaha. Am I doing that right? Probably not. Bet Mishpaha is an inclusive synagogue who meet at the Jewish Community Center across the street. And when I saw that we got the award and they were runner-up, I thought that we ought to be talking to each other as the two best congregations in Washington, D.C. So I would encourage those of you who are moved to do so to take some leadership in helping us reach out to our Jewish, inclusive, open, and welcoming neighbors who meet across the street. At the Blade Awards ceremonies, I had a big surprise. For the first time ever, the Blade created a new award that they called a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they presented it to me. So, don't lose that. And it's a great honor, and I want to thank the Blade for doing this amazing thing. I want to thank you as a congregation. I've really been telling people that here at Foundry, it's not the pastor who makes the congregation, it's the congregation who makes the pastor. So I'm appreciative for your leadership and support over the years. Let's take a moment to pray for one another. If you would be aware of the person sitting on your left and the person sitting on your right, and then bow your heads. Take a moment to pray for the person sitting on your left. You may know him or her, or they may be a stranger to you or almost a stranger. Pray whatever the Spirit gives you to pray during this time of silence. Pray for the person on your right as the Spirit leads you to pray. If the person on your left or your right that you prayed for is someone you don't know, please shake their hand and introduce yourself after the service, or if you don't know them well, say hello to them. And if the person on either your left or right is someone that you're very close to, continue also to pray for them all week. Amen. For almost 2 months, we have been studying Foundry's core values. If you open up your bulletin again and look at almost the last page, you'll see a sheet that says Foundry's core values. Our leadership and our board have worked for over a year listening to people, talking to people, to develop a statement of Foundry's core value, and we are in the last one today. It is core value number 8, about God gifts, cherishing God's gifts, and I'd like to ask you to read it with me. We cherish God's gifts. God blesses us with time, talent, money, opportunity, and the earth we now call home. We strive to be responsible stewards of God's great banding. When we receive a gift and we really, really cherish it, we use it well. All of us here are highly gifted in different ways, maybe, but each of us is highly gifted. And being responsible stewards means using the gifts we receive well. And I think in our case, because we are so phenomenally blessed and gifted, I think it means using the gifts we have generously. As our core value says, one of the gifts we've been given is the earth we live on. We all share that. I want to mention that we have a green ministry mission team here at Foundry Church. And if you want more information about that, there are some people you can talk to. Is Chris Matthews here? Chris, do I see you? Nicole Wu, they are two people that you can find. You can actually go to our website, and there is a whole section there with most of the ministry teams of our congregation and who their leaders are and how to connect with them. I also wanted to take a minute this morning to recognize and honor and tell you about, in case you want to connect with all of the, or not all of them, but most of the ministry teams that work in the area of administration and operations, different from our board, different from our governance structure. These are people who work at making the nitty-gritty, often not so romantic, aspects of being a healthy organization and institution function. So I'm going to name some of these operations ministry team, and if you're a member of the team, I'm going to ask you to rise quickly as I mention the name so that people can see you and can connect with you after worship if they are moved for their next step in discipleship to explore working with your ministry team. We have a Mission Possible ministry team, which is leading our capital campaign. Mission Possible team members, please stand. Talk to these folk after worship. We have a building ministry team, which is working on the architectural and other plans. Do we have members of building ministry team? No, you can find their contact on our website. Some were here at 9:30. We have a financial development ministry team. If you're part of that team, would you rise? We have a stewardship ministry team. Tara is leading it this year. If you're part of the stewardship ministry team, please rise so that people can see you and you can connect with them after worship. We have a planned giving ministry team, which at this point includes Paul Hazen, Larry Schlegel, and Chuck Hilty. So if you guys would rise. These are all people who have already gone through the process of remembering Foundry in their estates and wills. And if you want to talk to someone who's been through a process with their lawyer about how to do that, talk to these three people. It's never too early to begin thinking about your will and your estate. And when you start receiving lifetime achievements awards, you really start thinking about it. You really start thinking about it. So I would encourage you to talk to any of those folk. We have a ministry team. This is a very, very important ministry team that isn't honored much. It's our counting ministry team. If you're one of our counters, would you please stand? Counters after church, there you are, after church, go to a undisclosed location and they actually count the offerings. And there's rules, you can't have family members counting together and all those kind of precautions, and they are stewards of our offering and make sure that we have a good count and that the offering is handled well. And then we have a ministry team that we call the Job Corps. Job Corps people are people who actually come and do things like spackling and painting and working on our building with their hands. You're part of the Job Corps. Would you please stand if you've done that work? They're up in the balcony. And so talk to Mike or Nicole if you're interested. Or check it out on the website and all of their contact information is there. So core value number 8. We cherish God's gifts. We strive to be responsible stewards of God's great bounty. And I think for us who are so gifted and so privileged and so blessed, that our responsibility in the area of being stewards of all the earth, of all we have, of all of our talents, all of our abilities, our standard of responsibility is generosity. We're called, we who have so much talent, we who have so much intelligence, capacity for love, we are called to generosity. And I want to say just a couple things about generosity. Generosity, according to the Bible, the book of Galatians, generosity is a fruit of the Spirit. The book of Galatians lists the fruit of the Spirit, the products, the results of the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And one of the fruits it lists is generosity. Now, as opposed to what some other teachers teach, the Spirit of God is present in each and every human being. You know, when I baptize a baby, I say, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is already in you, who already dwells within you. In the second chapter of Genesis, in our biblical story, it says that the way God created human beings was that God took some dust, formed it into a body, and then God breathed the breath or spirit. The Hebrew word for breath is the same word as spirit. God breathed the breath of life into the dirt. And that's when Adam, the human being, became a living human being. The Holy Spirit of God is the same as the Spirit of life, and anyone who is alive has within us the Spirit of God. You don't need to be Christian to have the Holy Spirit of God live in you. You don't need to be a person even of faith. The Spirit of God, if you have life, dwells within you. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is generosity. So from our very beginning, we are created with the spirit of generosity within us. Generosity is our natural human nature. By nature, if we are what God created us to be, we are naturally generous. If we see someone who is hungry, it is our natural and human impulse to help them get some food to eat. If we see someone who is homeless, it is our natural human impulse. This is the Spirit of God within every human being who has a natural human impulse to help them find a place to live. It is our natural impulse to be generous. So the question is, if it's who we are, if it's who we're created to be, why are some of us more generous than others? And why are some of us not as generous? Why is it harder for some of us to be generous when it is our human nature? And the answer I've come up with is because our natural human nature, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life within us, is polluted by fear. It's polluted by fear, it's polluted by anxiety, it's polluted by worry, it's polluted by insecurity. We are afraid for our future. Jesus has a very interesting illustration in a sermon he preached that's reported in the Gospel of Matthew as the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Gospel of Luke, it's pretty much the same sermon, but Luke calls it the Sermon on the Valley. I assume that Matthew and Luke were just sitting at two different places when they heard the sermon, but the sermon's basically the same, and the illustration that Jesus uses in the sermon is he says, do not be anxious, do not worry, don't be nervous about your future. Consider the birds of the air, consider the sparrows. The sparrows don't punch a time clock. The sparrows do not negotiate a contract. And yet, look at the way God cares for the sparrow. And then Jesus says, look at the wildflowers. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't read fashion magazines. They don't shop for clothes. But look at the way God dresses them. Look at how beautiful they are. Who have you seen at an Oscar award that is more beautiful than a lily of the field? So, if God takes care of the birds who sell for a dime in the marketplace, how much more valuable are you? And don't you think that God's going to take care of you? So why are you worried about tomorrow? Look at the wildflowers that get mowed down and thrown in the fireplace. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Aren't you much more valuable than a wildflower? And if God dresses a wildflower the way God dresses a wildflower, why are you so worried about the clothes that you think you need? And Jesus' point in the story was that our anxiety and our worry that causes us to be less generous than we otherwise might be is because we have a spiritual problem. And our spiritual problem is that we do not know God well enough. We do not have enough of a relationship with God. We do not know others well enough. We do not have a strong enough community with others to believe that if we get in trouble, anybody's going to take care of us. One of the most eye-opening things, and I know it's the same for many of you, to do is to travel in the two-thirds world. Truth of the matter is, I know that this is true for me, and it's true for many of you, that the likelihood of me ever starving is very, 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 very slim. The likelihood of me not ever having any clothing in my closet is very, very slim. I am probably one of the 1% of the world, maybe one of the 1/10% of the world, who least has to worry about ever being hungry. As a matter of fact, I spend most of my time trying to eat less food. So it's amazing to me that when I travel in the two-thirds world, when people really actually do face the likelihood of experiencing hunger, they seem to have so much more confidence and trust in God than I do. Whereas I worry about tomorrow, I worry about my future. I'll tell you, ever since I decided to retire next July, I have these moments when I say to myself, well, what if I run out of money? What if I run out of money? My God, I am in the 1/10th percent of the population that's in the world that's least likely to ever run out of money so that I could neither eat or have a place to live. Why am I so distrustful of God and my community? Why am I so distrustful of God? Why is it that whenever I want to make a commitment or give money away or help somebody, I worry, oh, will there be enough left for me for the rest of my life? It's a spiritual problem for me. I don't trust God. I don't trust others enough. So my attitude is, boy, if I can't really trust God or others, I'd better take care of myself. Now, I want to spend 1 minute on the lesson for today. It's a very, very interesting lesson. Jesus takes his disciples and he has them stand right across from the treasury of the temple. The treasury was the temple's offering plate. And he has them stand there and watch people as they put their offering in the offering plate. Sort of like if Jesus were to stand, walk behind our ushers and watch what all of us put in the offering plate on a Sunday morning. And affluent people give significant sums of money. And then this widow, who, as was the case for widows in that time and place, had nothing or almost nothing, a widow comes and she puts in 2 pennies. And Jesus, this was an object lesson for Jesus' disciples. Jesus says to his disciples, she's given more than all the people, the rich people who put a lot of money into the offering plate, because she gave not out of the excess that she didn't need. She gave out of her poverty. She gave out of what she needed to have to live herself. Now, there's a lot of points I think Jesus was trying to make with that story, but this is one of the points I think he was trying to make. Generosity is a spirit. And our generosity is not shaped by how much we have, but by our spirit, by our faith, by our trust in God and others. A problem being generous is not because of capacity, it is because of whether we trust, have trust in God and others, or whether we are distrustful of God and others. In other words, whether we are generous or not is really not dependent upon whether we have the capacity to be generous or not. If we are scared and nervous and distrustful, we can have a lot of capacity and still not be generous. Matter of fact, my experience is I started out on a young preacher's salary with 3 kids, and I kept thinking, if, you know, when my kids are out of college, and maybe I'll be serving a church that pays a little better than this one, then I'm going to really be generous. I'm going to tithe, I'm going to double tithe, I'm going to triple tithe. And it turns out that generosity is not dependent upon the capacity to share. Generosity is a spirit, and if it seems as though you have or I have little capacity, we will still figure out a way to share. And if we have lots of capacity, but we are dominated by fear and distrust and worry about the future, we will find it very, very difficult to share. It's an amazing thing. I've been very fortunate as Methodist preachers go. And Jane's been fortunate. And it's an amazing thing that the more capacity we have, it turns out the more nervous we become about giving, because the more things we are afraid we might not have in the future or be able to have. So one of the points of this message is that our generosity is not about capacity, it is about spirit, our trust of God and our trust of others. And no matter what our capacity, whether we think it's great or small, if we have trust and faith in God, if our relationship with God is such, if our relationship with others is such that we know we'll never be alone, we'll never be abandoned, then we'll have the capacity, no matter how much we have or how much we don't have, to be generous in all of the ways of life. And giving to a church or to charity or to other things is the least of it. It's the least of it. The most important of it is the capacity to give ourselves, to give our friendship, and to give our love.